You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Hey there, 666 Infernal Hails, my war brothers, it's me, Joe Thrash and Kill, and welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet Pail Radio Show. Today I am joined by my co-hosts. I'm talking about the internet sweetheart, the number one golden boy. You know him as Jordan, or as 365 Days of Horror, whichever you prefer. Which do you prefer, Jordan?
I guess at this point it really doesn't matter. You could just say, hey, you with the sweet cans, and I'll probably go, huh? Me? Okay.
That's not all, though. We've also got the enemy of the internet. I'm talking, of course, about Brennaside. Brenno.
Your sports team sucks wherever you live.
True.
You know, I think the very first episode I was on, or second or whatever, I think Jordan was going by 365 Days of Horror exclusively. And I think I was just calling him Jordan like four times on the show. And he's just like, doxed, doxed. And of course,
it's been long enough. We've all doxed ourselves 100 times over.
We've really just owned ourselves all at this point.
This is true. You know, looking at the episode count right now, this is going to be episode 298, right? And you know, if you've been following along, you know we've got a big 300th episode spectacular coming up. Now, here's the thing. If you're not in the know, that means that given what time it is on the calendar, the next show that goes up is going to be 299 over on the Patreon, the special bonus episodes, which means that the next time you listen to the regular feed Toilet Radio, that's going to be episode 300. So if you want to get involved, if you want to participate in the 300th episode Boogaloo Spectacular, it's going to be your time's running short. So yeah. What you're going to want to do, okay, you feel me on this? If you want to follow along, if you want to join in, if you want to get your jollies out, you're going to want to either call me up, leave me a voicemail on my cell phone. That's 803-712-3773. And you can say whatever the fuck you want to me. You know, I'm a captive audience, and we'll play it on the show.
Yep.
You can give us well wishes. You can give us the opposite of well wishes. You can sing us a little song if you like. We'll package all those together, put them up on the 300th episode. Also, if you don't want to do that, if you want to do something else, Jordan, what can folks do?
If you don't feel like calling us, or you know, maybe you're an international listener and I have no idea how calling people works anymore in this 21st century we live in, you can go to cameo.com and flip through all of the people that are available for hire. You can find musicians, actors, voice actors, weird internet celebrities, and a whole lot of heavy metal and rock musicians. And for a couple of bucks, you can pretty much have them say whatever you want. You can have them wish us a congratulations on 300 episodes. You can have them roast us. You can have them sing one of their songs awkwardly in a room with not a lot of furniture in it, so it's really echoey. You know, whatever you want to do. You get that done in the next couple of days, and once you get that in, you can send it to us at toiletofhellradio@gmail.com, and we will play it on the show. We've already gotten a couple. We listened to one right before we start recording, and you're not ready for this because it's amazing.
Yeah, I have a warm, tingly feeling within that is totally unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, somewhere around
joy.
My pants. Yeah.
So you should take this time right now to get involved and join in on this 300th episode spectacular, because it only happens once. You only get to do 300 episodes once. If you're a normal podcast, you don't see like episode 4. So we've earned this shit.
If you're the guy from Nails, you haven't gotten past like 6 episodes. If you're the guy from Manowar, I don't think you've gotten past 6 episodes. So yeah. We're doing pretty well.
Long haul.
If you're President Obama, you've started 4 different podcasts and haven't made it past episode 6. So suck it.
And you've made around about $10 million on each one.
God, who's listening to that shit? Who cares, man? Listen to our show instead. everyone who listens to the Obama podcast, call us. Let us know why you listen to dumb stuff and why you feel bad about it. And you're going to come listen to cool stuff, which is us.
The most recent Obama podcast, of course, was with his co-host Bruce Springsteen. And I can't think of anything I'd rather hear less, man. Well, I mean, I guess there are a wide variety of podcasts out there catering to very specific, needs or vanity projects. Sometimes you guys send me things that just make my head kind of hurt. Like, of course this exists. Of course, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast is the most popular in the world. So there's like a million shitty knockoff, like dudes that are roided up and tattooed, just trying their best to be Joe Rogan, might do something just totally asinine, like have a heavy metal version of Dicks Out for Harambe as their theme song. I'm just thinking off the cuff, like, what's the stupidest thing I could think of?
It looks like this podcast has existed for several more episodes than it should have. Our good buddy, our great friend, old confidant and acquaintance of ours that we just love so much, Tommy Vexed. Formerly of, well, what's it, Bad Wolves?
Of Divine Heresy, formerly of Snot, formerly of Westfield Massacre, formerly of the band of his own namesake, Vexed.
I mean, the key word here is formerly, just kicked out of all of them. Even his own fucking band couldn't take him.
Yeah, every time under very suspicious circumstances, leaving a band, sometimes not so suspicious, like other guys in the band were like, yeah, he threatened my wife.
he physically assaulted me.
He seems to have an issue with hitting women and we just don't want to hang, so bye, dude.
No, what's fucking got my hackles up? What put me down the Vexed manhole the vexed again? I've been following this phenomenon of people complaining about woke culture or cancel culture or whatever. You know, I'm just a glutton for punishment online. So I like finding what your uncle is mad about and seeing all of the many avenues that will cater to his very specific grievances. So I was over on Instagram and I got a promoted ad. Tommy Vexed, he's hawking a t-shirt with his big bloated face on the front with a very poorly Photoshop piece of duct tape over his mouth that says Vex It, and on the back in big block letters the words Fuck Cancel Culture. His ad on Instagram here, it says, can you see this post? Which is a very specific kind of right-wing grievance where people believe that they are being shadow banned for their extreme beliefs, for being bold truth tellers, when in fact it's the algorithm preventing people from selling their various hokum wares on their site without ponying up some dollars.
Right. It's like if we try to advertise the Patreon, the Toilet Hill Patreon on Facebook and, you know, hey, great episode this month, here's a link, no one will see it because Facebook specifically squashes that down because they want money to sponsor it and promote it themselves.
Yeah, and I don't believe that's us being censored for having radical views, you know, about what Tim the Toolman Taylor does with stray dogs. I think that is just a specific monetization channel and that you can't get yours unless they get theirs.
Have we talked about Tim Allen fucking dogs and this long? It's been too many episodes, man.
It's probably been 200 episodes since I've said that Tim Allen fucks dogs.
We need to make sure that people know that. So I think it's interesting that this guy is selling t-shirts when he has no brand. He has nothing to sell you. He has no art to really convey here anymore. There's no music behind this. I mean, what do you have to be really a fan of if you're the kind of guy who buys this shirt?
Being an asshole.
Yeah, it's just like, I love this asshole. This is a good asshole with dumb tattoos, and I want to make people know that I like him.
It's the same people that have "come and take it" bumper stickers on their car.
Yeah.
It's the outwardly aggressive, "I am ready to fight at a moment's notice. Oh, please, God, don't hit me, not in the face."
I think that it's worth noting that we did predict this particular turn many, many moons ago, when it looked like Tommy Vex was much more interested in building a, you know, right-wing online brand for himself rather than, like, you going forward with his really successful band, which I think is kind of indicative to me of, like, where the money is at.
He did raise $176,000 to record a solo album that's going to sound exactly the same as his previous band.
Yeah. And I, you know, the money for this record, you know, he's not making that off the back end. He's making that on the front. So I think it's an interesting indication of where music as a whole is at. that you can do much better just, you know, pivoting to, I don't know, being like an Alex Jones type guy instead of being, you know, a well-known musician.
I mean, I gotta figure he probably did pretty well in doing the band thing, and maybe now he's just scrambling for purchase here, you know? Like, he just doesn't have the footing that he used to, and so he's just throwing all this shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And, I mean, it's sticking to someone. God knows that if you're a Bad Wolves fan, you can't possibly be the type of person to hear anything Tommy Vex says and then goes, "Oh, I'm going in the opposite direction. This isn't what I think." No, you probably have a pickup truck with too many hundreds of thousands of miles on it, more rust than truck at this point, and it's a working FM radio. It's all you got, and when you hear that cover of Zombie coming on in your local radio rock station as the, you know, 20th song they have in constant rotation every day, never ever change, you get excited when you hear that one, because it's not Green Day and it's not Pearl Jam and it's not Nirvana for the 7,000th time. No, man, it's Bad Wolves singing Zombie, which is another Dainese Alt song that is, you know, something you're excited to hear. So
These guys get mad when they hear the opening chords to Zombie and they realize it's the Miley Cyrus version instead of Bad Wolves?
I didn't fucking know there was a Miley Cyrus version.
I flipped to the modern rock radio station the other day and heard it and was like, "Ah, damn, we are circling the drain for cultural artifacts right now."
I feel like there should be some kind of, like, statute of limitations on that. Just some kind of law that states if there's some kind of cover that sells enough recently, you should not be able to, as a pop artist, also cover that song, like, around the time that someone else did that.
You know, Miley Cyrus stepping on old Tommy Vex's toes.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the cancel culture presents itself best when Miley Cyrus just totally stomps all over Tommy Vex's limelight here.
I just can't get over this heartfelt protest song about war and struggles of your nation being sung by the Party in the USA girl.
Yeah, I don't know what's more appropriate, the Party in the USA girl or the guy that's, you know, almost certainly in favor of every U.S. conflict. It's worth noting, when I took this screenshot on Instagram, that this absurd fuck cancel culture shirt had 25,000 likes on it. I wonder how many that transferred to actual purchases.
Well, I'm looking at his website now, and the shirt is not sold out.
Okay, that's good.
Other things are, but not this one. So I'm sure it was just specifically targeted to other chunguses who were like, "Yeah, cancel culture, bad. I like this, but oh, I can't afford it right now."
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't come in 4X. Oh.
It's a shame that we're still doing this whole cancel culture thing, this whole PC culture thing, all this time after a PCU came out and putting into it. But, you know, here we are.
The name keeps changing, but it's still the same thing, whether it's PC culture or SJWs or woke or cancel culture. It's all the same thing. It's, I don't like having to deal with the consequences of my actions. So it's someone else's fault that this is happening to me.
And these are the same people that call everybody NPCs, but they really just have, like, six phrases in the barrel, and that's just about it.
Yeah, sometimes they'll learn a new one and it kicks out an old one. They can't remember that many phrases.
And, you know, sometimes they say it on stage during a concert and then, you know, ruin their D-level nu metal band.
Are you thinking of anybody in particular here?
Not really. I think it's just my flawed thinking on the subject.
You know, I gotta say that in this, the year of our Lord, like, you are international flaw correspondent. The other ones are not. We're not on that beat. So can you fill us in on the details?
So apparently Flaw is touring somehow, some way, and they played a show, and the vocalist said to people in the audience, white people in the audience, he referred to them as the N-word. And then
Why?
Went online and decried cancel culture and then quickly deleted that when everyone went like, no, dude, you said a racial slur. It's not cancel culture, it's you. And then kind of reformed his thoughts and apologized for it. But yeah.
Well, like that English teacher in the early 2000s that was on that hilarious local newscast. I mean, did he say it with the hard R or did it end with the A? Because those are totally different. That's totally different.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we don't need to get into the details of what exactly it was. It was not a great idea.
But he could buy some T-shirts on Tommy Vec's store that might make him feel better.
That's true. Why did he have a Michael Richards moment here?
I don't know. possibly a few too many drinks or other substances. The vocalist Chris Wallace has had issues in the past, so perhaps that was part of it. But regardless, words were said and it's on camera.
Boy, I can't recommend enough not doing that, no matter if you're a high-level musician, a mid-level one, or just any regular person.
F-level nu metal. Gosh, is there? I feel like there was another just absolute J-level terrible nu metal group that was on the radio once for one terrible song, but they had something else to say somewhere this week, and you know, at the age of 57, just putting on a fresh set a guy liner to take some god awful photo shoot so that it could be published on Blabbermouth for me to have to look at in any given Sunday morning.
I mean, I've got at least one in front of me. I'm sure, Jordan, you've got one as well.
So you guys know who Skillet is. And as listeners, and I mean, it's you two guys.
No, this is the real test. Like, I know that a lot of people, you know, myself included, in the general metal audience had, what do you want to call it, like, evangelical backgrounds. mine, of course, was a little bit before Skillet came to rise. I came from, you know, the true old school metal sounds of POD.
I mean, you had POD and you had Creed. And that's what you you know, listen to on your nasty, janky plastic headphones with the little foam padding that you had wrapped around your head as it ripped out little bits and pieces of your buzz cut, as you just kind of skateboarded to Catechism, and you did your you know, you made sure to pick up the skateboard before you entered the church parking lot because that wasn't allowed there.
Right.
This was the era of, like, a lot of bands starting out as Christian rock bands and then kind of pushing that away just so that they could have one hit on the radio. And then after their fame goes away, they become Christian rock bands again.
We are not Christian rock. We are Christians who rock. It's different.
You know, you've heard that phrase before, like, you know, you don't want to be like a big fish in a small pond or something like that. Seems like that's exactly what you would want to be. You would want to be the biggest fish in the smallest pond. That way you have no predators. You make a lot of money with the smaller fishes, right? That's how that metaphor works.
You get to just suck up all the fucking water in your big, dumb, fat, greedy gills for yourself while everyone else just drowns.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me to be like a moderately successful rock band and that has purchased within Christian communities. Like, you probably just want to keep that, you know, you want to keep that remora like grip. You don't, you never want to give that up.
Well, when you're such a talented band as Switchfoot, you just got to go mainstream.
Have we talked about Switchfoot's annual Bro-Am concert?
I don't think so.
they call their yearly performance in, I believe it's San Diego, the Bro-Am. You know, like the Pro-Am tournament. Yeah. So really one foot in the church, the other foot in just this completely vacuous California culture. It's just pretty cool stuff.
It's one foot up your own ass.
the military family culture, because that's San Diego too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just massive Navy families.
I've heard people tell me that San Diego is one of the most beautiful places in the country, and I've been there, and I've never felt more alienated by the people that exist there. Anyway, getting back to Skillet here. So we'll get into this a bit later on. There were the Grammys, you know, that big cultural event that we all tune in and watch every year.
People claim no one cares about but can never shut up about.
Just people want to watch the Grammys to find their own petty personal grievance. Of course, I have my own that we'll get into later. One of the big things, like the big cultural event from the Grammys this year, was Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion doing WAP, which, you know, WAP had a big moment this year, melted a lot of brains.
Is it pronounced that or is it WAP?
WAP. I think it's like a, you know, where in the country you live, you know.
Well, I know how you feel about Italian, so I can understand why you're saying it that way.
It's pronounced Greaseball.
I'm almost positive that within the tune itself, Cardi B at one point says WAP, WAP, WAP as part of the beat. So can confirm it is pronounced WAP.
Yeah. Besides, like WAP itself was like WAP, WAP, what it do, what it do. That was the clips, so that was already taken. So with WAP or WAP, you know, it's like saying it Mario versus Mario. This made a lot of people mad throughout the year. The song about pussy and such, people don't like that. I haven't seen the full performance. I've just seen an incredible figure four leg lock reversal gif from this performance. Have you seen this? It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. It made people horny and then angry. And then angry, horny, and then just angry again.
Yeah, just mad at your boner. Just
punching your own dick like, no.
I have a pee-pee. That makes me an evil person. That's what my mommy told me.
So after all the dick punching was over, it was time to get on social media and say some real dumb shit. So for example, our man from Skillet, he saw, I guess, what was, you know, other conservative luminaries making grandiose statements about the cultural implications of, the song about the pussy, you know, the Ben Shapiro's, the Matt Walsh's of the world, the other assorted just, you know, vile scumbags. So my man, John Cooper of Skillet.
Whitest name says, in the world, by the way.
Yeah, he begins the statement here with, we're living in a world right now, which, you know, this is a great... We're living in a society.
We live in a society.
In a world.
We're living in a world right now where there are certain Dr. Seuss books that you cannot sell on eBay. This is, by the way, on his Cooper Stuff video podcast. If you ever wanted to... You know, cycle in another podcast, your rotation.
Oh, God.
They're just too much for anybody to even be allowed to buy. They're being yanked down from all the bookstores and stuff like that. It's just too much. It's too evil. But you can and must applaud the sexual degradation of Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion simulating sex together on the Grammys. This is the perfect example. You must celebrate. In fact, if you don't celebrate it, then you're actually a bad person, and you kind of don't love people. You're actually not nice. Why would anybody ever call good evil good and good evil? It's simple, because they just redefine the terms. The question is, who's going to define what is good, and who's going to define what is evil? Every dictator in history says that they were doing what they were doing was good. That's what they believe. If you go back and read some Hitler speeches, he's like, I'm going to set people free, free from the bondage of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, my God. Which,
if you look that up, that's a definite Hitler quote for sure.
He definitely said that. And did not have like immense backing from the German churches all around.
Yeah, exactly. So he's saying, if you go back and read some of Hitler's speeches, that's what's happening right now on the Grammys. Again, yeah. There is a direct parallel, I can't stress this enough, between the speeches Hitler was giving, you know, while leading the SA and trying to find purchase within the aggrieved Germans of the time, and the two insanely hot women doing the cool figure four lock. That's a direct parallel, and I'm glad someone had the strength and the moral fortitude to make that comparison.
Right. I'm looking up the GIF as we speak for journalistic purposes.
And it is insanely hot.
Yeah, you know what? I can see what he means. This is evil stuff.
Yeah, nobody should see this. Nobody should ever see this. What do you think, Jordan? You are, the person in our group that probably, you know, has the most skin in the game here in these Hitler comparisons.
Want to take another swing at that one?
Yes, you are the one whose opinion matters most on this one. What do you think, vis-a-vis wet ass pussy and Hitler?
I mean, I think, you know, if you spent any time in history class, we all know about the burning of the Reichstag and then Hitler's very famous speech about how it's wet ass pussy's fault that this happened and that people need to be rounded up. Who gives a fuck about what this guy from Skillet has to say? This human merkin yakking on and on about just the moral fiber of the United States as he plays his shitty guitar and sings shitty, boring ass, nothing rock songs about feeling like a monster. Yeah, that's just the only one I know. And that's because it was a theme song for a WWE pay-per-view like 15 years ago.
Right.
No one needs to hear from the guy from Skillet in general. No one needs to hear what he has to say about women. No one needs to hear what he has to say about black women. Shut up.
It's like, what a guy, totally and wholly undeserving of a voice. Like, I think the First Amendment should just have like a blind spot for this one guy. Just be thrown away. I mean
the whole thing's absurd, and everyone pointed out how absurd it is. And what do you do with a person who looks at that and goes straight to Hitler?
I mean, we have Godwin's law for a reason. It just, you can't just say everything's a Nazi when you don't like it, man. You know, that's cancel culture. That is.
He did a cancel culture.
He did. So,
No, I didn't. Skillet also have a song about like getting horny and feeling guilty about it.
I mean, it's the feel like a monster song, right? It just, he woke up with a hard on one day, and he was so guilty about it, he just had to write the lyrics as they came to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm typically very I'm anti-sex in general, anti any kind of horniness online, but it's okay. This one's okay.
This one's fine.
You don't have to invent a huge persecution scheme because you know, you're not so comfortable with what you saw on your TV. Or more accurately, you didn't watch it on TV. You saw your favorite right-wing dickbag posting about it and felt that you needed to get into it too. I didn't watch the Grammys. Did you guys watch it?
I don't even know where to watch it.
I don't know how.
I just don't have any of the things necessary to view these things anymore. I don't have live television. I don't have cable. In 2021, I know very few people my age who still do. It's just such a huge sunk cost every month to like keep a live television going where you don't get to pick what you watch and you just get to watch constant marathons of the same stupid show because these channels don't really know what to show you anymore anyway because they're all fucking failing. And yet still, somehow, there's just access to these national television events just worldwide and everyone talks about them and I'm left in the dark again. But hey, no, I didn't watch the Grammys. That's the answer.
Jordan, I don't guess you did either.
No.
I've got a, fucking antenna. Like I bought for $20 to watch football, the local broadcast or whatever. And I guess I could have pulled that out of the attic to watch the Grammys, but I didn't consider it because I figured everybody would tell me what I needed to know the next day.
We're still in the middle of a pandemic too, and we're having award shows. I know they're all rich people, so they've definitely been vaccinated for a lot longer than probably are letting on, but still, this is unnecessary.
Look at my mask designed by Vera Wang.
You're a Vera Wang.
I am a Vera Wang.
So the thing that I guess that would happen at the Grammys that has the most, purchase with what we do is that, our boy Riley Gale had two different nominations for the metal category. He, of course, had an entry there with his own band, Power Trip. And there was another one that he had on Body Count track with Point the Finger. There was another Body Count song nominated, Bum Rush, that did not feature Riley Gale, and that was the one that won for Best Metal Performance of the Grammys last year. So Riley Gale, even though we lost him this year, and it's still really fucking sad to me, losing somebody like that at the fucking apex of their life. He got snubbed for both chances in the Best Metal Performance, and he got completely ignored from their In Memoriam segment for artists that we lost this year. And that actually feels pretty shitty to me.
Yeah.
So Eddie Trunk went on to Twitter and complained about that, right?
Eddie Trunk has never heard a Power Trip song in his life.
No, but he did complain about Eddie Van Halen's tribute, saying it wasn't long enough, even though I think it was something like 30 seconds, possibly more, of like just a shot of his world famous guitar and I think Eruption playing over it.
And you know what? It makes sense. Van Halen sold something like 10 trillion records. So, of course, the Recording Artists Association of America, the body that exists to exalt things that make money, would want to give lots of attention to this band that still sells a lot of records. Whereas Power Trip, of course, is never going to sniff a platinum record, unlike the trillion platinum records that Van Halen has.
The whole thing is you got Ice Cube here on Body Count. And I know that the Grammys have this game where in order to give anyone an award, they have to be well known. I mean, like you have something like Tenacious D, where a lot of people probably aren't as into it as they are into Jack Black as an actor. But because Jack Black was an actor and he had star power, he had the fucking Grammy in his hands for Best Metal Performance that one year where everybody from the metal community should have thrown up their hands and given up on the Grammys forever. and so I think that's probably what's happening here again, is that you have the bigwigs in charge of this whole thing saying like, isn't that the one, what a guy I watch on my television program? And so they fucking put him on stage because he's got the star power, he's got the face.
In some ways, you could see this as a reversal of the times, and that, you know, Body Count was excoriated by, you know, the industry in the Cop Killer days, persona non grata for sure. And now, you know, he's matured within the industry and is respected rather than reviled. So they're correcting their mistake.
Yeah, but he did it after playing a cop on TV for 20 years.
And Cop Killer, you can't find it on like a lot of streaming places either. That song's just left off.
Yep, which is a shame because it kicks ass.
This is probably just like a lifetime achievement award, partially. I mean, I like the song, but they've been around for over 30 plus years. And I mean, I'm sure this thinking wasn't part of their decision, but the song for Power Trip was Executioner's Tax?
Yes.
a live version of it, but the song was what, 3-4 years old at this point?
That's true.
So maybe the nomination was like an acknowledgement of some sort of his passing without actually having to lift a finger or do the right thing.
I mean, he did get nominated before he died, though. Like, so I don't know.
I don't know then.
It is a little bit like a Scorsese moment, you know, acknowledging Body Count and Ice-T as a whole, well after they should have done so, is his Gangs of New York. Which is fine. It's fine. Again, I'm not watching this shit. I'm not getting mad. Somebody who did get mad at this and clearly also didn't watch it. It's an old friend of yours, Jordan.
He is not a friend of mine. He is not a friend to any of us.
This guy has no friends.
You sure? Well, he has friends because he gives thousands and thousands of dollars to Donald Trump. So he does have friends. He just, you know,
has to buy
not
them.
One of our friends.
I would invest that money in adequate hair plug surgery rather than Donald Trump, but that's just me. Talking, of course, your favorite and mine, our best friend, Chris Jericho. What's killing me is that he put off this drunken tweet and just kept it up. He has not acknowledged it or deleted it, which is a sign of a true blue hot taker. You have this one in front of you? Because I do.
I do. So Chris Jericho said on March 14th, "Hey, at Recording Academy, .. no tribute to Eddie Van Halen tonight." And he tagged Eddie Van Halen. Like, Eddie Van Halen's not going to see this, dude. "You and your bullshit awards can go fuck your ass! !! And don't ever try to give my band a nomination. Okay. I'd rather win an at Razzie Awards. Hashtag fuck off Grammys. Hashtag Grammys."
Again, the Razzie Awards, for those that are, you know, or maybe less familiar, those are for movies. You stupid bitch. It's like, yeah, don't even try to give me a Grammy for my band Fozzy.
I didn't want a Grammy anyway.
I don't think you're in any danger of that happening.
Literally everyone listening right now has just as good a chance of getting a Grammy as Fozzy does.
That's right. Your band in Golgafagning has just as much of a chance. They'll recognize Gore Grind eventually. They're a little slow on it, I promise. He could have deleted that. He could have said, "Oh, I was drunk," or like, "Oh, I should have watched another 5 minutes." But no, he just left it up. I appreciate that.
I mean, why are you going to delete something as good as a person responding to him with a screenshot of the tribute and the response? Apparently, you can fuck your own ass.
I love that. Go fuck your ass. Just like stumbling to get together the words like that you're mad.
It's like what you yell out of your moving car during a road rage incident that you have, and you try not to be embarrassed about it, and you try to tell yourself, "Well, you know, I was just driving by really fast. He probably didn't hear me, or you know, he's never going to see me again because I drove away really fast." But you know what you said. You said something dumb. You're going to
totally like, "Who do you think you are? I am." having a Pete Weber.
The bowling guy.
Yeah, Pete Weber, who retired this week.
I did it! I'm going to play that clip right now.
Do it.
I got it! That is why I did it! That's number 5! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! Damn it right!
Now, we love a good, just rage-filled, off-the-cuff rant that doesn't quite come out properly. That's the human condition, man.
Just a frothing, seizing bludgeoning of words coming out, and it's kind of sounds good as it's happening, but when you read it, it's like, wait, what?
Oh, no. In your mind, I'm sure it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
It's been a slow, sad descent for Chris Jericho over the past couple of years.
Man, you sent me a photo of him the other day that is just, it's a sad days, man. I remember, watching my little CRT TV during the Y2J era, and what I'm seeing now, it's like Poliakshi the Fat Clown.
Who is this old woman in the wrestling ring?
It's kind of like a Robert Smith kind of deal. You know, Robert Smith is still, to his credit, keeping his teased hair and makeup, and he just looks like an old witch now. But he doesn't go shirtless. That's the big thing.
I think being in Fozzie has really lended itself to him being or living through this like rock and roll lifestyle that he's always wanted. And
who among us doesn't want to become Vince Neil?
The road is starting to own this man in ways that I don't think can really be reversed. I think getting off the gas from his wrestling days in WWE to probably being an alcoholic is just all coming to a head as this man has hit 50 years old.
This is some of the roughest 50 years I've seen in my days. It makes me want to make some better changes in my life, to be honest with you. Regardless, there's another topic we kind of talked about earlier in the show, that you can make music if that's the thing that you want to do, right? You can make music, you can spend all of your time learning theory, pouring obsessively over samples, trying to get the right noise.
Don't do it.
Sitting down with your little notebook, pouring your heart out, finding the right series of words to communicate what you're really feeling inside, and put all that out there. Use a service to upload your works to Spotify. And then watch as you never, ever, ever see a dime. You could do that. I don't personally recommend it, but you could do it. So, you know, there's been a lot of pressure for Spotify to maybe reallocate some of the insane profits that they get into the people that, you know, populate the platform, you know, the artists and such. You know, it's tough to do. There are other concerns. You have to make sure your board gets paid. You have to make sure that Joe Rogan gets $100 million to do his podcasts on your platform. You know, there's overhead, of course. You need office space and lunches and stuff like that. So there's, you know, the operating expenses, you know, money goes in, money goes out. Sometimes there's just not enough to, you know, to take care of the other things. But they're promising that, hey, we are aware that, you know, some of your favorite artists, they've been posting screenshots of the checks that we send them, and it's a little embarrassing for everyone involved. So let's try to address this issue in the future at some point. And that's a promise I can get behind. I applaud Spotify's leadership in this realm. I am sued.
I guess it's just like, I don't know. It's like really the only way to play these days. And I think that the marketability of music is just, it's so weird. Like, I don't know how we allowed it to become free, but it is now. And I mean, what's that phrase I'm thinking of when you know you're going to spend some money and you're going to lose it? It's like a lead loss, right? Something like that.
Loss leader. Yeah.
Yeah. So I the only way I can describe music in 2021 or music that's been made since 2007 is that it's a loss leader. You're not, you make it and you put all your money and all your time and all your effort into making it to put out an album so that, okay, there's your brand, there's what you got, and now you have to make your money by, I don't know, going on YouTube and hawking trash.
Yeah, you sell brain and or dick tonic. Yeah,
right. The money's still there, it's just moved, you know?
Oh, wait, we're talking about Tommy Vexed again?
You know, I got an email the other day from Gwar, selling Gwar CBD. Which, for a band that's, you know, part of their shtick for so long is, like, they do giant rocks of crack. I'm a little disappointed that they're selling not, you know, fake drugs. I would like to buy real drugs from Gwar, please.
Yeah, I would like the giant rock of crack.
Didn't they just pass a marijuana law in Virginia, where they're from? Like, isn't it going to be legalized there?
I think so. Whatever. It's just the national distribution is so fucking patchwork all over the place, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Blothar is a PhD college professor, so he probably can't be getting into the hard stuff quite yet.
Wait, really?
He has a PhD, yeah.
I had no idea. Man, good for him. Good for Blothar.
He's putting it to good use, yeah.
So Daniel Ek of Spotify, their CEO fella, you know, he was addressing people's concerns that, you know, we extract all of your value and give you nothing in return, you know.
And I have the last name of the, you know, sound that the Martians made in Mars Attacks.
So he's saying from streaming on Spotify alone, we're seeing growth from artists at all stages of their career. Ooh. Since 2017, the number of artists generating more than $50,000 a year is up 80%. More than $100,000 a year is up 85%, and more than $1 million a year is up 90%. So you're seeing a good growth rate for people that are in what is undisputably the very top echelons of Spotify. So this is where your Post Malones come in. This is where your Cardi B's and Megan Thee Stallions come in. Right. People that have just insane hits. They can also, in the case of Post Malone, game the system on the free platform where they get more plays. I don't know how that paywall type thing is working out. I'm very curious about this. We need more answers on that. If you want to break these numbers down, here's something that a number that blew me away. There are 25 million artists on Spotify. Again, I can't stress this enough. If you are considering putting out music, you are competing with 25 million other bands, projects, solo things, and noise.
At least 100 of those are Bob McCobb. So
That is true. That does change the variables a little bit. There is no telling how many of those 25 million artists are like the bands that are like that bill themselves as sounds like this band that doesn't have a deal with Spotify so that they can play their cover versions of a popular song when you search for it.
And look, to be fair, probably like 20 million of those artists is probably like three or four guys I follow on Twitter who keep changing their black metal name. But yeah, the competition's steep. I mean, there's music, the music industry, quote unquote, like I've said before, it's a beached whale. It can't support its own weight. It's fucking dying, rotting in the sun. That's just what it is. And there's just not enough to go around because the barrier of entry doesn't exist. I have a microphone right in front of me. I could smash a pot in front of it and fucking put it on Spotify.
And yet somehow the show isn't on Spotify.
Well, we love to play shit we shouldn't on the show.
I don't want to be tied down by their rules, man. We're raw. We're uncensored.
Yeah, we're underground on Apple iTunes,
Stitcher.
But yeah, so just to give you, some more context here. There's 25 million artists on Spotify. So looking at Daniel X, you know, numbers projected for royalties. There are 13,400 artists that make more than $50,000 in royalties or more. 25 million artists, 13,000 of them make what can be. And considering how many people are in your band, that could throw off the numbers a little bit. But I mean, do you know how much you would make on minimum wage? If you have one person in the band and you're making $50,000 in royalties, that's okay. But if you add more.
And, you know, you also have to take into account record deals and distribution deals and A&R and all these sorts of things where the actual money gets dished out to all these other people before it even gets to the artist. Like Chevelle just said a week or two ago that, like, they've received no money from their record deal that they've been on for 10 albums.
Jesus Christ. That's heartbreaking because I still have to hear Chevelle when I go get my car fixed.
So you're saying when you listen to it, you're seeing red again?
It's sending the pain below.
And when he's seeing red, he's talking about the rusty old truck I was talking about at the beginning of the episode. It's that same guy.
Describing running my on truck, exactly.
Yeah, it's a Tommy Vexed fan. He's driving off to work to go fix Joe's truck.
So that seems pretty bleak, pretty dire. I don't know about this whole Spotify thing, fellas. And I know that Bandcamp... You know, they've put out something like billions of dollars in revenue directly to the artist, but man, how many fucking bands do you think are on Bandcamp?
As low as the bar is to get on Spotify, it's even lower for Bandcamp.
No, it's non-existent.
I have heard shit that you would not believe on Bandcamp.
Being sold for more money than it ever should have been sold for.
Stuff that should have maybe stayed marinating for a little bit longer in Reaper or whatever, you know?
While we're on this discussion, can we talk about these holier-than-thou, self-aggrandizing folks who thinks because they sometimes spend $2 or $3 any given week on Bandcamp, they're saving music and they're supporting the artist. And whenever we post our Spotify metrics, we're bad, bad people.
I mean, by all means, go off, dude. Like, I don't have any real dog in this fight. I spend a fair amount of money on Bandcamp and for like what I consider, you know, which is a small amount, I guess, for other people that want to be on every every record. It's a, you know, that one particular fellow in Massachusetts that owns every single metal record on Bandcamp.
Yeah, but it's like if you love artists and you want to support them so much, like email your friend there who you're performatively buying an album from and ask him how much he spent to fucking record his record and then send him that money. Don't give him $2. Fuck you. I don't like whatever. I just leave me alone. When you drop something like Spotify in the monkey population's lap and it's totally free, it's like, God, why wouldn't anyone go for the streaming service? You know, it's right there. You can pick whatever song you could possibly think of that you'd actually want to hear, unlike some of the things on Bandcamp, to play at the click of a button. And it's right there and it's playing in a pretty high quality. And then you're just, you know, back on your YouTube videos watching some young lady who doesn't know who you are just present a given product so that you can just enjoy her speaking to you. With eye contact, like we all just desire sometimes.
No, man, there is a lot of stuff that I want to listen to that's not on Spotify. I found that, you know, where I'm listening is dependent on which platform I'm using. You know, for example, Spotify's mobile platform is fucking dog shit. The absolute worst thing you can imagine.
Oh, you have to pay for it. You absolutely have to. If you don't pay for Spotify every month, like I actually do because my wife and I, we share a plan and I drive around a lot and want to just make all the playlists and everything. If you actually try to do it for free, you're fucked. It's just, it's 10 ads a second. It's like fucking ads in the middle of the song. You're going to just, you're not able to pick any of the songs you want to hear. You just get to go to like the artist's profile and just randomly listen to 10 instrumentals from them in a row. It's absolute dog shit.
It's context dependent for me. And then of course there's stuff that isn't on Bandcamp or Spotify. It's, you know, some weirdo out there found this one thing that you're really into and put it on YouTube and you're the only person that listens to it on YouTube. I have a folder full of bookmarks in that case.
Yeah, and you can't listen to any of that cool racist stuff on Spotify anymore. So you gotta go to YouTube.
Do not imply that I'm listening to fucking Grand Belial's Key or on YouTube or whatever.
You just open up the private tab and bust out a little Urgleson. We know.
It's there. That's all I'm saying. any racist, like horrible band shit that you can't hear on like Apple Music or Spotify, it is 1000% on YouTube unabashed. Like it's just there.
Yeah, and you can make all kinds of friends in the comment section.
It shows up on Bandcamp too sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, and then people make a big enough stink about it, and then it can disappear.
So, this is not what I was implying with my statement here. There is legit, like, there's a bunch of experimental shit that I like that's only on whatever. Never mind. This isn't about me. This is not, we're not
experimenting with race.
There's plenty of stuff, even like local bands or bands that you saw open up a show 15 years ago that just disappeared after, and no one's bothered to put it on a Spotify or Bandcamp, but there it is on YouTube. I do that all the time as well, and it's nice.
And you will get a better payout from YouTube, honest to God, if you upload your music to YouTube and you like just have ads on it.
But the thing is with YouTube, like anyone can upload it, and it's typically not the band that's uploading it. It's who has a George Washington demo that they found in a parking lot.
I have not monetized George Washington. I have no plans to do so, unless, you know, I start to see the view count go up.
Yeah. Once it's 3 million views, you already lost your money.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in a band, someone did that, some random like black metal content aggregator put our video up, and I just asked the band like, hey, should I just like put in a complaint about that because it's our music and that's kind of fucked up? And they're just like, fucking relax, Lars. And I'm like, yeah, okay, all right.
God damn.
They were just surprised it didn't work out for
trying
you.
To make. Yeah, fuck me for trying to make a dime in this business.
Oh, yeah, I'm not in the band anymore for a reason. That's all I need to say. It's like, just considering the podcast that we're on and the music we typically cover, there's like, you know, like you said earlier, there's the upper echelon, topmost echelon. I can't think of a more bottom echelon than just like underground metal music. It's like not even underground indie. Like if you go on Spotify and you look up some underground indie artists, you'll see like 400,000, 1.5 million fucking streams of some of these random Brooklynites just playing music, you know?
You want to know what the secret is for that? How they have that? It's because some, you know, hip fucking advertising director used one of their songs in a fucking commercial or in the season finale of some fucking shoegazy piece of shit fucking dramedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, anybody who watches Shameless can tell you that it's all just like the soundtrack is completely these unknown artists that just no one has cared about until they had that song on Shameless. And then you go and look up the song, and every other song has 1,800 yep. streams. And then the one on Shameless has, you know, 400,000, 1 million streams.
And the fucked up thing, like, is you know, pitiful as the state of the industry is, that, you know, that used to be a way that you could actually make some dollars. Over the last 10 years alone, the payouts for being used in a fucking commercial or in a TV show have, like, dropped to a quarter of what they were. So, like, you don't get, you can't win. You just can't win.
Oh, man, I'm going around lately, and just America in general, just everywhere I turn feels like, I don't know, post-World War I Germany. It's like, 6 marks for an orange, yeah! You know,
yeah. And in the meantime, you've got all kinds of guys that are on the corner trying to, you know, help rally around our national character by looking at these hot women and saying that the we need to love Dr. Seuss instead or whatever the fuck. Yeah, it's a post world and society with a whole bunch of wannabe dictators. Not good. Yeah. I don't know. There is a possibility, though, if you want to do better. The solution I've seen is to make friends with somebody who is very good at Photoshop and have them just churn out T-shirts.
Absolutely. So we're getting close to wrapping up the show. We're almost at time. And I think we should probably switch things over to something a bit more fun, something that'll put a smile on everybody's face. I'm talking about Stephen Carpenter from Deftones.
Please tell me more.
So he had this insane rant on some, I think it was like the Tinfoil Hat podcast or something, Jordan, something like that. The Tinfoil Hat Show. Yeah, PRP.com got us the whole spiel there. And we had a lot of fun on a bonus episode that you can hear if you subscribe to our Patreon. Please do that. But Stephen Carpenter, he got on the Jamie Josta show. And was given another
Josta pasta.
The Josta pasta. He was eating some Josta pasta on a plane of existence that isn't quite the one that we recognize as real. Okay. He opened up further on his flat earth and conspiracy beliefs. And I got some of this stuff in front of me that I'd love to channel Stephen Carpenter and his voice and attitude best as I can. If you guys want to hear some of the things he said on this podcast.
Oh, let's go ahead. Let's hear what old Stevie Carp has to say.
All right, dude. Come on, guys. We're going to totally get into it here, okay? All right, let's go. This is Stephen Carpenter from Deftones. We're all blind believers in the fact that we live on a globe. But when you go to prove that you live on a globe, or even otherwise try to prove that the flat earth conversation is not true, you end up going to the other side because there's far more evidence Joe Thrashen killed. There's more evidence when the conversation is about flat earth than when there is about a globe. You know, all of our knowledge in regards to the globe is based on our beliefs and our education. But when you actually look, your instincts and your feelings don't ever tell you that you were that you live on a spinning flying space ball. That's not how you feel. That's not what you feel. You know, if you were walking on a treadmill right now at a half mile per hour, okay, and I unplugged it, you would feel that.
That's true. I would feel that.
But somehow you can spin around at 1,000 miles per hour, 600,000 miles per hour and more, and you can't feel any of that? I mean, at some point, what I had discovered when I went through this whole trying to prove what was and what wasn't, I'm only discovering information that I was unaware of before on that path. And it keeps being one more thing that makes sense after another. And I had realized, and I always ask people, since, you know, I kind of opened up to it, and I was just like, well, what's your threshold for BS? You know, what's your real threshold for bullshit? Now I want to say something. It's a rhetorical question. I know what your threshold for bullshit is. I know what your threshold for bullshit is, and all of you, I know what your threshold is. It's generally pretty low. You know, if I'm telling you some straight up bullshit, and you know I'm telling you some bullshit because you already know the truth, your desire to hear me continue with the bullshit will only be based on our relationship. And if I mean anything to you, you'll hear me out, because maybe you just want to see how far I will take this damn story. But if I'm not important to you, you really don't have any time or interest in hearing bullshit. You know what I mean? Unless you're really bored. But you know, this, I mean, generally
what's
people
funny
don't
is that this was the original script for Morpheus in The Matrix when describing the red and blue pill.
I can't be that much more. Okay, here we go. I could just tell you and everyone who is watching, you can go to a YouTube channel called Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock App.
Just rolls right off the tongue.
There's an actual app for it. That's the name of the app. You can go on there, and they have everything from short videos to long videos and all this stuff. I mean, literally all your questions are explained with multiple videos reiterating the same point over and over. There's another channel I really love. It's called Don't Sphere the Truth.
Oh, my God.
I'm done. That's enough for me. From Steve Carpenter. Yeah.
I have a theory that I've conducted. You know, I've thought about this long and hard while you were talking, and I've decided it's true.
Okay.
What if, okay? Like, what if, bro? Humans, we were born with middle ear infections, and we could feel the earth just hurtling us through space, just making us sick all the time. And it was an evolutionary adaption that we ignore the middle ear infection so we don't notice the G's of the earth spinning at an incredible rate.
So that's probably true. That's what's going on. One thing I want to point out is that the last time he went off on a podcast and was challenged on all of these things being wrong about the earth being flat and everything. I don't know if, Jordan, you remember this, but Stephen Carpenter went full-blown simulation theory and said, well, the place that we are right now, the round earth, that's just part of the simulation. The earth that's actually in reality where we are, where we're plugged into the matrix, that place, that's the flat earth. So
interesting.
So he's going off about the treadmill theory, but then the moment you're like, okay, well, here's some scientific evidence for why you're a complete fucking ass dork. These people will go to a place that you can't follow. That is always going to be their strategy, is to go so full blown fucking bananas that you got to just walk away, and leaving them feeling like they won the debate. Because how do you follow that? How do you go to, I'm going to reference some late 90s action movie as far as what fucking reality must be to me.
Seems kind of like hedging your bets to me. It's cowardly. You gotta take a stand. We're either on the flat earth or we're not, bro.
Right. Like, you gotta accept that this is, okay, let's just say there's no simulation. This is an earth or it's a flat earth. What is it, you know?
Can't have it both ways. I don't know. What do you think, Jordan? Are we on the flat earth and the simulation, or are we on the globe earth and the simulation?
You know, throughout my life, a lot of people have asked why I'm straight edge. I'm just going to send them Stephen Carpenter quotes. Just like, this is why.
In my opinion, weed is too strong. We have these weed scientists, they have gone too far. They've opened a box that we can't close now. You can't buy nice ditch weed and feel warm and happy. Instead, you have to give yourself fucking schizophrenia.
So that doesn't happen when you buy, say, a podcast celebrating their 300th episode, a cameo, and send it to them. You won't have any of the side effects that are going on rattling around in Stephen Carpenter's bong smoke infested brain.
That is true. If you were to take your dab, if you were to take your dab budget for the week and instead invest it in the Toilet of Hell, either for a cameo or over at toiletofhell.com. It's patreon.com/toiletofhell, and spend your
stimmies,
your dank nugs budget that way. We'll all be better off. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you'll be sober, and we'll have more money. And money's great. So that we can then go use it to buy drugs. I mean, listen, I was for every second of 2019, I was stoned off my ass. And all it ever did was make, like, if I ever smoked way too much, the only thing that happened was, like, I would have to, like, rub my face so that the realization of all my toxic behavior wouldn't melt my brain. And then, like, I would just eat peanut butter and feel better. So I don't know how you go from, you know, kind of just that to where we're at here with this flat earth stuff, but it sounds like it must be this app. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to download the app, and I'm going to watch some short videos and some long videos. And I mean, flat earth, sun, moon, and zodiac clock app. I mean, right, like you said, Jordan, rolls right off the tongue. I'm going to give that old Google Play Store download and just have my third eye opened here.
It's like the Goldilocks app for conspiracy theories. There's short videos, there's long videos, and then there's just right videos.
All the videos.
So, yeah, let's all toke up. We'll download the app, and we'll meet back next week for a 300th episode spectacular. Or if you are a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get something very special for episode 299.
Awesome.
Fellas, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. All right, keep it metal, bros. Keep it high. Don't get sick as you're spinning around on the 100,000 miles an hour or 600,000 or something miles an hour space ball. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
All right. That's good stuff.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.